American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
Good day, this is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, January 11th, 2005. And I, Sean Kennedy, am here to tell you I am absolutely overwhelmed with email. Oh my God, the response to the show is getting out of control. Imagine that, something I'm doing getting out of control. Well, in fact, it has gone completely beyond my realm of control. So, for those of you out there, thousands and thousands of people sending me news stories, please keep doing it. Please send me your stories. I try as hard as I can, whilst I got everything else going on here, to get through it all. There's only so many hours in the day, and I'll be looking forward when we get the donations up so that I can quit my job and I can do this full time to just try to get the quality out there to you guys that you deserve. And I know that sounds a lot like I'm plugging myself, and maybe to some degree I suppose I am, but at the way that this show is being received, I gotta tell you, I've been so incredibly touched. And I breeze over the people at the end who are donating, and I don't really know what to say to those people. The thank you just doesn't seem to cut it, you know? It's like I want to do something special for them, but then I can't afford to do something special for everyone, and the whole design of it is just beyond me, really. I'm really quite speechless. I'm usually a big windbag. I can talk about anything anywhere, but when people talk to me about, you know, how does it feel to have people sponsor you and stuff like that, I really don't have the words, and I guess that's all I can really say about that. So beyond that, you know, everyone who sends me email, I'm very happy that you're sending me the email. I'm going to try to get back to you as quick as I can. Sorry if I'm not getting to you fast enough, but hey, this is how the world turns. Also in the universe, I have had a recent revelation brought to me about by the good people at cranomedia.net, mainly Crano. He's designed the new Newsreel site, which you'll be finding linked off of my, off of my live journal, where I'll be, you know, on every show I have the live journal. At the end of my live journal links, I put all my Newsreel links. And so if you go to my live journal, you'll be able to get all the Newsreel links for the stories that I'm related, if you haven't caught all the shows up until now. But now it seems that we have a website, thanks to Crano Media. And Crano, dude, you rock. You rock sore. You are, you know, a god. Thanks so much. Because I can't code. You know, the truth is, I really can't code in HTML. I can't do any web development stuff. And, you know, if it wasn't for everyone, Smokehouse and Shade and all those guys who back up Rant Media Studios and all the DJs, I mean, really, this is a huge unified effort, which, you know, it seems like it's getting bigger every day. I'm so excited to be a part of it. And, wow, it's just great. So enough of this, you know, total backslapping. Let's get into some good meaty stuff here. We got some feedback. Sean, you nailed it with the weather forecast. Oh, I mean, I hate it when I'm right. A lot of people don't like it when they're right. I'm one of those people. I just don't like being right because half the time I've got this real negative sort of thing going on. You know, like I never give good news. I just give the bad news, and everyone goes, "Oh, hey, you were right," and they want me to be happy about that, which is not really the case. But anyway, carrying on here. When you started talking about the weather coming, that heh was in there, actually. You nailed it on the weather forecast. Heh. How do you read that properly? When you nailed it on the weather forecast, Hesk, when you started talking about weather coming, I couldn't help but think, damn, he's doing a news show, and now it's going to have a weather report. And notice no one in the news is talking about the fact that we knew it was coming. That's from Paradox. Well, exactly, Paradox, which is, you know, why I do this news program, is because, you know, the last thing the news wants to do is actually inform you. What they want to do is entertain you. That is their plan. That's why it's called infotainment. And, you know, really, aren't we being generous with the term infotainment? Isn't it really entertainment? We just like to throw the info in there because we don't want to really piss them off. Come on, guys. Half the stuff. I mean, how much, really, this laser story, for example. You know, the other last week there was that laser pointer. a quick recap for you. No one's really sure what kind of plane it was, how big the plane was, or whatever. But apparently there was a plane coming in. It's been verified. It's a bunch of different planes, a bunch of different ports. Got hit from the ground with a green laser from some guy in his backyard. Now, there's electrical engineers everywhere going, yeah, okay, the lasers we buy don't have the power to do that. Furthermore, if a dude in his backyard can hit the pilot and co-pilot of an airplane with a laser at 3,000 feet, dude, give that man a rifle because he's the greatest shot the world has ever seen. Okay, the last person in the world who wants to, you don't want to put this guy in jail. What you want to do is hire this guy to train your military. Holy crap. And the whole story is just totally preposterous. Totally, totally preposterous. And no one's even saying that, oh, well, you know, where is this guy now? Can we get this guy? Can we get an interview with this guy? You know, who is this dude? Is this really happening? Or is this all just, you know, planted terror in the media to keep people from doing things with lasers they shouldn't? You know, maybe we should ban lasers. This is a good way to ban lasers. We'll have a couple media stories, we release them. And then, you know, we build up some hype about how lasers are bad, and then we'll ban lasers. Why would they want to ban lasers, though? We don't know that, but let's see if that's a direction. That's just a hunch, you know, I'm just playing some numbers here. Let's see if that comes down the pipe. Now, moving on, we're going to get into Sort Yourself Out, my advice section of the show. If you got any questions you want me to answer on, you can send me an email. I'll peruse through them, pick a few cherries out, and try to answer them in my advice section of the show. But I warn you, you may not like what you hear. And, of course, you know, you can do total disclaimer, you don't have to listen to me, blah, 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 blah. But, of course, we're all reasonable adults here, so we're just going to carry on. I want to take on, and if you're not a reasonable adult, log off now. Want to take on, now, this guy here, I try to read them verbatim. I want your take on what to do with kids. I can understand what's going on with my kids, but my kids don't understand why we go on camping trips and rough it so much. I would also like your opinion on a baby, AWOL bag, can you research WOG-approved stroller? Now, people come to me often with, you know, kid-related questions. Now, I am not a dad. I'm not a dad by choice. I just never got into the dad thing. My dad screwed it up really bad, so I just didn't want to pass that on. And I wasn't too sure, you know, about the whole dad thing. Maybe he'll be a dad one day. I'm not a dad right now. So any dad-related stuff, just don't come to me with that, because if it's baby related, I could get the women in here and doing that, but you know, I don't know much about it, and really I'm not really crazy about babies. You know, they make a lot of noise. You know, they wreck stuff. They're smelly. You know, they're totally, you can't do anything with them. They kind of absorb your entire life in your mind. I'm not a big baby guy, you know. So sorry on the advice thing, I'm going to have to rule out babies. There's nothing I can do there. I have no operational knowledge of babies. I failed that class. So, sorry about that. Now, as to kids roughing it. Now, this is a big one. How do I deal with my kids? Okay, any question regarding a kid? I'm assuming this is a kid who will understand, say, Star Trek if he watches it or something like that. We're talking about a child of a reasonable age here, 5, 6 years old. Stuff like that. You can converse with your child. Talk straight to your kids. Just be straight up with your kids. Be totally honest. Have an honest, open relationship with your children. This seems rather obvious to me, but, you know, I'm not a dad, so I don't know all the little finer points that could be involved here. But realistically, remember when you were a child? When I was a child, I really enjoyed being treated as an adult. I would, you know, respond quite in kind. And if you get used to treating as an adult, the child will develop and act as an adult. This seems sort of obvious to me. But a lot of people, they want to shield children somehow from the evils of the world. Now, granted, you know, you don't want your kid running around on the internet, you know, watching porn, and you're leaving him out on street corners till 4 in the morning by himself. But, I mean, you know, there's not really as much, you know, sheltering as needed. If it's on, every relationship is based upon three principles, which is honesty, trust, and communication. If you do not have honesty, trust, and communication, you do not have a relationship either. So if your relationship with your children is authoritarian based, where they don't, like, you're in charge, obviously, but you can't be, you know, totally like lying to them. You know, it's kind of a big blowout when kids realize that their parents lied to them about Santa Claus. That means that for the first time your parents lied to them. And now, to quote Eric Draven from The Crow, mother is no longer the name for God on the lips and hearts of all small children. Mother is now fallible, you know, and, you know, everyone has flaws, and everyone, you know, will eventually appear fallible to their children. But, I mean, just be honest with the child. And even if you are found to be fallible later, the child at least will respect you. Because, I mean, big kids come out of little kids, and you've got to make sure that you stay as you know, in with your kids as you possibly can. So anything regarding your kids and the camping trips and why you're doing that without, you know, overdoing the your own negativity. Don't go forcing your negativity on the kids. Don't say, well, I think this is going to happen and I think we're all going to wind up in death camps and you better, you know, learn how to fight with knives and because otherwise, you know, you're going to get eaten up by some Nazi somewhere. No, that's psychoparanoid talk, okay? What you say to your kids is, I'm doing this just in case something goes wrong. I want you to make sure you're always going to be okay. Something like that. You know, you don't want to fill your kid's head with all this nasty crap that's going on in the world right now. He'll find out on his own. Don't you worry about that. And then later he'll come to you all like, wow, you know, all that stuff you taught me, there was a reason for that. And you're like, no, really? Holy crap, look at you. You know, so it's cool. Just be straight with your kids. Don't be negative to your kids. And that's all really I have to say about kids, because I'm not really a kid kind of guy. Now, here's a story about data mining from the military, and this is sent to me from Pig Monkey, and Pig Monkey's a really sweet guy. He's been setting me up on a lot of more of the stronger military sort of secrety stuff, so very, very cool. I want to be getting some more information out of this guy, and he's a great reporter, so I'm glad he's working with us. The Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, properly denied expedited processing of plaintiff's Freedom of Information request concerning its use of software program known as Verity K2 Enterprise. I'm interesting to check your any spyware you got looking for this Verity, V-E-R-I-T-Y, K2 Enterprise data mining technology that can detect urgency to inform the public about substantial interest in the specific use of a software problem, blah, 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 blah. Very wordy here. But the instead has shown only general public interest in the umbrella subject of data mining. So essentially, it is not an urgent matter to inform the public about their privacy being systematically violated in the ass by the Defense Intelligence Agency due to spyware put out by the government. Now, again, I look at my Cyberpunk 2020 book, and I'm going, wow, look at that. We've got malicious ICE programs running around on the net and, you know, robbing us of our data to be put in this massive echelon, you know, database to keep track of us. And how are we exactly supposed to deal with that? How are we supposed to look at this and go, okay, what do we do here? Is there a non-paranoid response to something like this? And no one, of course, is talking about it because nobody cares. And, you know, I saw a statistic last week that said that, you know, a lot of people think spyware is just part of being online now. You know, it's like, oh, everybody's got spyware. It's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a massively huge deal. And we need to make sure that people understand how to use spyware. Maybe, you know, that t-shirt that says, no, I will not fix your computer. You know, you can get it off ThinkGeek. Maybe we should actually be wearing t-shirts that say, please ask me how you can fix your computer. You know, please ask me about spyware. We should get shirts made up. Please ask me how the government is robbing you of your information so that people can be educated as to what, you know, these silly little spyware programs are and why they're so incredibly scary. I don't get it. And furthermore, people are then, you know, through this information that the spyware is gathering off the web, people are being labeled terrorists by a piece of software, you know. And, you know, Pig Monkey is right. What the hell is up with that? And, you know, he goes on to say, I guess that's what you're here for, Sean. Thanks so much. So, you know, it's crazy that I thought that I would have a hard time finding news to out to you people. I thought I'd have, like, just a difficult time finding, you know, news stories and so on and so forth, just to get out that are really pertinent, because, you know, it should be hard, but it's not hard. They're everywhere, and there's people sending me emails with, you know, gobs of information, just incredibly pertinent stuff. I don't have enough time to report it all. It's crazy. I don't have enough time to lay it all off. I hardly have enough time to sift through it. Okay, well, and also from Big Monkey, I got another one here saying, if you're one of in one of your first episodes, Sean, you sent a nice fuck you out to the NSA. Yes, I did. Saying that you were Canadian and they couldn't do anything about you. In my reading today, I discovered that on page 390 of James Bamford's The Puzzle Palace, available on Amazon.com, so it's James Bam, B-A-M, Ford's The Puzzle Palace, there was an agreement signed in 1947, which has never been officially acknowledged by any government, called the UK-USA Agreement. It brought together under a single umbrella the SIGINT organizations of the United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Upon further research, when I got home, I discovered the UK-USA agreement is just the more or less official title of everybody's favorite program, Echelon. And anyone who doesn't know about Echelon, Echelon is the aforementioned massive database that is being compiled on everybody everywhere, and so that we all become, you know, this nice little lab rat number tracking sequence. That's what Echelon's all about. I could do two shows on Echelon, and I would still not even get close to how incredibly nasty Echelon truly is. So if you're going to search, there's two things you have to search today. Echelon, that's spelled E-C-H-E-L-O-N. Go to Google, go to Kopernik, use whatever you want. Type in Echelon, research that. This is important stuff. So the moral of this story is that don't fuck with the NSA. So the previous fuck you I sent to the NSA still stands. It's nothing personal, though. It's just a professional courtesy thing. I mean, I think you guys are essentially doing, you know, nasty, nasty work down there. Not that it's your fault. You're just merely enforcing the law, and that's okay. But me, personally, up here, I think that your boss, who's ever in charge of the NSA, who's ever calling the shots, might be an evil fuck from another dimension. So, you know, nothing personal on you guys. Don't want anybody with earbuds showing up at my house. You know, nothing personal. I think I'm sure you're very good at what you do. But really, I'm thinking that your boss might be possessed by the devil. Just an idea, you know, just to throw that out there. Another thing that makes me think that your boss might be, possessed by the devil is that the Congress has now passed the Doomsday Plan unnoticed. There's no talk. Did you hear about the Doomsday Plan that Congress passed? I'll bet you didn't. And I wonder why that is. This is from the Boston Herald. With no fanfare, the U.S. House has passed a controversial doomsday provision. Jeez, I love that word when it's used in a news article. Doomsday. That would allow a handful of lawmakers to run Congress. Oh, good. That's a good idea. If a terrorist attacked or a major disaster killed or incapacitated large numbers of congressmen. GOP House leaders pushed the provision as part of a larger rules package that drew attention instead for its proposed ethics changes, most of which were dropped. Usually, 218 lawmakers, a majority of the 435 members of Congress, are required to conduct House business, such as passing of laws or declaration of war. But under the new law, which has been passed, okay, a majority of living congressmen no longer will be needed to do business under catastrophic circumstances. State of emergency much. Instead, a majority of the congressmen able to show up at the House would be enough to conduct business, conceivably a dozen lawmakers or less. Or less! So, all we gotta do is chain these two events together. Talk about burning the Reichstag. Holy crap. All we gotta do, this is that's a great, great link from Ricky Rocket. Thank you so much. I mean, because all we gotta do now is do one terrorist strike that takes out a bunch of congressmen, okay? Not to, you know, completely screw with the government and power's plans here, but if you were to have a nasty, you know, Osama bin Laden terrorist strike that, you know, wiped out a bunch of congressmen that aren't in your back pocket, and then all the congressmen that are in your back pocket go in, they can pass all kinds of laws without any problems. And of course, the nation is being force-fed images of the same horrible explosion, which is so gloriously captured by tripods set up on buildings all around, you know, this event that occurs that, you know, everyone has suddenly got cameras and everyone's able to get, you know, amazing footage of at eye level from another plane, but from another building. Really weird how that happens. But anyway, so we get this amazing footage and we're bombarded by this and we don't notice that all of the laws are changed. And now suddenly in this hyper, hyper accelerated terrorist state, we, you know, have to report for our injections and get chipped and all this good stuff. You know, it's essentially, you know, we have the camps without the wire. What a wonderful, wonderful concept. You really got to hand it to the Yanks. You know, they come up with some good stuff. I love the American people, and I'm quite certain that when, you know, they do something like that, and you've got, you know, six guys making all the laws for the United States of America, I'm real sure we're going to have a big rush of those guys coming on up, and they're welcome over here. You know, any of those Michigan militia types, I'll take those guys off a frickin' country mile over, you know, six psychos in Congress making laws that, you know, everybody and their dog, and you have this police state is going to be, you know, backed by the rule of these, you know, six kings. What a scary, scary concept. And I got another good story from Rebel Whore. Great name. Hey, Sean, this one article is about how libraries are in danger of becoming mainstream sources of media and information. Now, at first, that sounds like a weird sort of statement. But check this out. Soon books that are not considered popular or subjects do not create enough traffic might be removed from libraries, which I've always thought as a library is a place of storage. A library and a, like, warehouse were sort of synonymous. Like, a library is like a warehouse of knowledge. Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? Library, you know, books and all that stuff. And so if you remove these books from the libraries, where do you put them? Where do these books go if they're not in the libraries anymore? I mean, you've got to think about this. It just seems wrong that they're doing that here, and in some other libraries, I've seen them here in Los Angeles, so I checked it out. I got this thing from the Denver Post, okay, by David Harsani. Hope I didn't screw that up, man. I swing by the futuristic gem of the Denver Public Library System, the Schlesman Family Branch Library, a building at the East First Avenue and Popular Street designed in the ultra-modern airplane hangar motif, so contemporary that already appears hopelessly outdated. The library is a pilot site because it includes free coffee, lots of comfortable seating, perhaps the Denver Library System's most impressive DVD collection, and a bunch of popular CDs with listening stations. In other words, it's a free Barnes & Noble, or Chapters if you happen to be in Canada. What strikes you immediately as conspicuous, however, is the departure from traditional library silence. This library is busy and noisy, really noisy. You'll also notice that the building slants to the north, the side with the DVDs and CDs. Books are a remote afterthought to anyone who's under 20 here. Behind the bright smiles of the librarians, there is tension. Now, you can tell this guy's completely, you know, he's hating every moment of this, so he's, you know, he's totally giving these guys the gears here. They work their tails off, the librarians, that is. They work their tails off to earn master's degrees, only to be forced to subdue the ancient art of shushing and become mere clerks. The humiliation they must feel checking out Ashley Simpson's CD to some punk who could care less about Melville Dewey is probably unbearable. Okay, well, you're incredibly literate and clever here, dude, but we're talking about information here. Doubtlessly, they ask themselves, is this what the library has become? A ghastly postmodern structure filled with espressos, listening stations, and Buffy DVDs? Okay, dude, like, I'm sorry that, you know, everything's not all dry anymore, but you have a good point with the Buffy things, but it's okay to have, you know, digital expression. You know, Marshall McLuhan would say that's what libraries are going to become. You know, I'm all for libraries. Let's keep libraries as, you know, think of a net cafe where everything's free, even the software, and you can go in there and do whatever you want. Now, instead of going in and reading books, you can go in and make movies. I think that's a great idea. Listening stations and Buffy DVDs. God, no, I wouldn't want kids watching TV at a library. They might be out there shooting drugs. Why should they be in a library when they could be smoking up somewhere? I ask, is the state now on the hook for my entertainment too? Okay, dude, you know. His point is that the whole library thing should be kept as kind of a sacred site. You know, really. I mean, I'm a little bit biased because, you know, like somebody else said, I have a tendency to worship thought. I like the idea of reason, you know, the mind, body, spirit, the whole, you know, the quest for what life's all about, that whole eternal soul thing. Yeah, I think that's really riveting shit. And I believe that, you know, the only way we're ever going to have a shot at figuring out what that's all about is with our mind. So we have to keep the mind in shape. You have to stay sharp. You have to stay on the edge. And furthermore, a lot of people, you know, they're discounting rest, which is bizarre. I think it's great to go to a library if you just wanted to sit there, shut your eyes, and sleep for a few hours. Even if you're, you know, in one of these comfy chairs, the libraries, to me, are more like churches or what the idea of what a church should be than anything else. I think a library is a great place. So I don't mind everything going modern there. What I do have a problem with, though, is if they have, like, the trendy ultra-modern, you know, come to the library, da-da-da-da-da-da, pretty baby, that's fine. Okay, come on down to the library, that's cool. But, you know, you've got other floors where you've got, you know, the really good books. You've got the restricted stacks and all that stuff, you know, where you can get up there and people, you know, can get in and look at original texts and stuff. If you look at history and you look at the libraries, the great libraries of history that burned and it put culture back, you know, God knows how much. We don't know how much knowledge. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know how much we lost. It's a terrifying concept. So I'm all for libraries becoming more popular. And just because the thing looks ultra-modern, you know, don't get all psycho about it. But I definitely think that you shouldn't be removing books because they're not popular. That's ridiculous. And no, an e-text is not the same thing, okay? I'm sorry if you got it backed up digitally. I mean, hey, you know, if that's all I can get, if you're going to burn all the copies of Anne Frank's diary, yeah, okay, I'll take digital backups if that's all you'll give me. But I would like to have a few, you know, 100 copies of some really important books laying around. It's a good idea. Just, you know, That was one thing I kind of thought was weird, you know, all the symbolism they used in that film, The Day After Tomorrow, where, you know, everything becomes really, really harsh, so we have to burn all our books to stay alive. And, you know, they did some great stuff in the film about talking about what's important and what's not, you know, and little slams against the tax department. But really, I mean, books are, really, our entire culture is made out of books. How we relate to each other, our first experience is usually through reading, through print. We discover things, concepts of how to interact, what's scary, what's not scary. I mean, how much have you gotten from media that you did, everything that you didn't get from a person, you got from media. And if you happen to be a quiet person who doesn't, is not so good with people, which a lot of people are like that, you know, chances are you've gotten an awful lot from media. And books are like a huge part of who I am. I mean, you know, that's why I'm referencing this and referencing that. And I think that the information and thoughts and ideas expressed by film, by decent film, I don't mean corporate film, you know, iRobot with its, you know, Converse commercial in the middle of the film. What the hell was that all about? But when you look at films like, you know, the original Star Wars, you know, 3, you know, Empire Strikes Back and that before it got really out of control and it was all about marketing, you want to look at that and go, you know, these films are they are just as viable as a book. I mean, these are concepts, these are entertaining notions. There's mass broad ideas. I mean, it inspired a generation. Star Trek. I mean, look at what an influence on our culture Star Trek has had. And Star Trek created books, but I don't think there was books before there was Star Trek. And even if there was a couple of novels, I mean, the true impact from Star Trek can only be seen as video. And now it's infiltrated every part of our lexicon and it's everywhere. So I think that, you know, modern media has a place in the library. That's not a question here. But I don't want to see us totally abandon, you know, our foundations of history. And because there's a lot of brilliant, brilliant people who we've never heard of. And the only place you're ever going to find out about them is at the library. Now, here's an amazing example sent to me about corporate strong-arming, and this was sent to me from Bastard Guy. I don't even have to look on the web anymore. I've got all these amazing people who use Macs who go out there and find me stuff. That's a little quote for joke for Bastard Guy there. We're ripping on each other over the Mac PC thing. But anyway, this instance not only smacks of customer insensitivity, but of corporate strong-arming. And there's corporate strong-arming when you think, oh, well, you know, they bully you into, you know, taking the coupon or whatever. But this is from ThinkSecret.com, an Apple rumor site, which is incidentally being sued for being right. But anyway, insiders report that after the banner for the new Apple iPod was accidentally unveiled, it was supposed to remain concealed after tomorrow's keynote speaker. So they're all at this convention hall. This banner was accidentally unveiled. Apple security reacted the way you'd expect Secret Service if President Bush was in trouble. Okay, well, that's conjecture. I'm sure that whoever wrote this has never seen the Secret Service. So the security freaks out and yelling at contractors in English and Spanish to take the banner down while chasing down pedestrians outside who they spotted taking photos of the gaffe. Okay, this is outside. One bystander with a mediocre camera phone found his arm grabbed by Apple security, who then demanded he delete the fuzzy photo off of his phone in a public place. Okay, now, let's talk a little bit about the whole concept of intellectual property rights here for just a second. All right, if you've thought something up and you make that into physical reality, yes, I suppose you own the design and all that, and yes, you deserve to be credited for it, but you can't stop other people from learning. I mean, to stop other people from looking at what you've done and learning from that seems unethical to me. I think that you're holding back the whole human race. I'd hate to think that the human race was held back from technological evolution because of a profit margin. That seems sort of evil to me. Now, moving from here, I am really, really careful about violence. When you're talking about violence, especially when you've got a bit of an audience of people listening to you, and I'm sure there's going to be, you know, people who are paid by governments who listen to this, and they're waiting for me to screw up so they can, you know, swoop in. But when it comes to violence, the use of violence is really, really interesting. And then notice that security and corporate security generally will not hit you. They will grab you, they will restrain you, and they don't want to leave any marks on you because that way they can make up any story they want. And you really don't have much of a leg to stand on in the classic, you know, sort of court appearance kind of thing. It's a little bit... it's a little bit dodgy, you know, to fight with security in their store because all this kind of jazz. Now, if you're in a public place, okay, if you're out on the street and some guy comes up to you and grabs you, I don't care who he is. If you're in a public place, this is some guy who has no government authority. He has no right to put his hands on you. The guy is attacking you is what he's doing. Yes, he's attacking you with a grappling maneuver, and I would not advise using overt violence on the guy, but should you have, say, some small circle jiu-jitsu training, I would definitely take charge of the situation. And if you feel that you're going to be restrained by some group of corporately sponsored thugs and you don't know what they're going to do because they have no authority to be grabbing you, they're breaking the law in doing this, I would react with force. There's five guards, you would respond with five times as much force. I mean, this is seems sort of logical to me. You know, if corporations, maybe they need to get a couple of their guards thumped before they'll figure out that, oh, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't be manhandling people in a public place. Some people did get away from with photos of the banner. Well, good for them. They're photos. I think the concept of stopping people from taking photographs is ludicrous, provided you're not, you know, violating people's privacy as such. You know, I don't think that people should be photographing each other's naked wives, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a line here. We're talking about common sense here. But if there's something in a public place and you just jump a line or whatever because, you know, somebody else dropped a banner and you snap a photograph, you know, I mean, isn't this going to just be PR? This is such a bad PR move that was both unnecessarily attention-grabbing and all for naught. I mean, it's not going to do anything for the company positive whatsoever. And Bastard Guy was completely right in sending me that. And, you know, it was funny because he's, you know, a big Apple guy, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, it's an amazing thing to me that companies can think they can just walk all over people and get away with it. Like, it's not going to be an issue. Like, it's not going to be a problem. I don't understand that at all. Now, yesterday, it's weird because, you know, we record these the night before and all the rest of it. But yesterday, Sim and I were talking about, you know, those addictive substances and foods and these things that are destroying our brains that are in our food everywhere. Well, somebody was listening. Melikin was listening, and he sent me the link about excitotoxins. And this is the second thing you have to look up. The first thing is Echelon. Do research on that. The second thing is excitotoxins. That's excitotoxins. Okay. Now these are the good guys of aspartame, which is also NutraSweet. Okay. So anything NutraSweet is aspartame. That's MSG, also known as monosodium glutamate. There's a stuff called cysteine, stuff that's hydrolyzed protein. I like that because there's protein in the name. So hydrolyzed protein sounds like it'd be a good thing, doesn't it? I mean, it's protein. Everybody needs protein. And aspartic acid. These are excitotoxins. And the information floating around in the independent medical communities about these toxins is just unbelievable. They call them the brain slayers. And this isn't, I'm not making that up. I mean, that sounds like a pretty cyberpunk term, you know. The guy got burned out on brain slayers, but I'm here to tell you, that seems to be from the information I'm getting. You want to look this up. There's too much there for me to cover in this program. It's unbelievable. I did a show a while ago on aspartame, and drinking a 2 liter of Diet Coke is essentially like, it breaks down to almost doing a shot glass of formaldehyde. I mean, it's brutal what this stuff is doing to people, and they're just, you know, destroying the mental function of the populace, which of course is, you know, promoting, you know, the drug companies to, you know, force feed their drugs on our entire culture. And, you know, oh, you're creative, well, we got to drive that right out of you. Can't have you, you know, dreaming about stuff, you know, that's just not productive. So that to me, I don't understand why this isn't, you know, what the real terrorism is about. I mean, when you're poisoning people with what has been passed as food and it's toxic, and no one's willing to stand up and say, well, wait a minute, the emperor's wearing no clothes here. We've done a lot of bad things, and we got to come to the front with this and say, listen, we're poisoning our people. There are children which are becoming, you know, stunted. There's all kinds of things that are happening to people all over the United States. There's all this disease. I mean, this sickness, you're poisoning people. It's not even fast. I don't understand why this isn't being addressed anywhere in the media. When you tell people NutraSweet's bad for them, they look at you like you have got a toaster on your head. I used to check packs of people's gums, and if they, packs of the gums, yeah. No, but a pack of gum, like if I found a pack of gum in a car, a guy offered me a gum, I'd look at it. If it said it had NutraSweet in it, I would throw the gum as far away as I could, so neither me or him, or hopefully anyone else, would find this infectious, toxic, brain sponge, you know, brain slayer gum. This was my whole concept. Of course, some people got really mad at me when I was doing that, because, you know, they pay money for that gum, but I, you know, I would say that I would stand up and think that I'm helping them and, you know, preventing their brains from rotting and falling out their nose. And I encourage everyone else to do exactly the same thing. Furthermore, yeah, you should read what's in your food. Just because there's a little, you know, rat on the box that's, you know, smiling and he's cartooning and he says, eat, you know, processed food, that's great. As a matter of fact, the whole act of eating has seemed to become very, very mechanical now. Everything is now coming out of Ziploc bags and containers and it's, you know, the feed lots. Not a lot of cooking going on in the modern world, you know, which is a real art. And, you know, the concept of a home-cooked meal is being lost. I think people who can cook, it's a gift. I can't cook. I mean, I can make wog food and survivable food. And I make a lot of jokes in the patrolling series and stuff like that. But cooking is an amazing thing. I mean, sitting and actually preparing food, what a noble thing. You know, if you have the skill and the talent and the inclination to do that, I mean, it's great. I mean, I'll eat it. You bet. It's good stuff. And really, I mean, you're feeding your body, so you should be paying attention to what you're feeding your body, because that makes up, you know, what you are. Hence, you know, you are what you eat. It's all very, you know, straightforward stuff to me. And I got another letter here from Forgotten Node. Not another one from Forgotten Node, but another letter, and this one is from Forgotten Node. Hey, Sean. For all your stateside listeners, oh, this is a good one, I thought I might outline some of the even more heinous changes to the so-called Patriot Act through an Intelligence Reform Act of 2004. Did anybody hear about this Intelligence Reform Act of 2004? Cricket, cricket. Anyone? Cricket, cricket. Bueller, Bueller. Nobody heard about this thing. Nobody heard about the Intelligence Reform Act of 2004, but check out what this act did. Like, why do we even bother having a government? Does anyone monitor these people? Is anyone reporting in the news? Like, really? You know, Dan, what are you doing up there? Never mind the fact that you screwed up on, you know, Kerry's record or whatever the hell it was. You know, what's going on with this Intelligence Reform Act of 2004? Why isn't this hitting the airways? I'm sure there are investigative reporters out there who are just amazing people with more education than I could hope to have and a boatload of experience who would commit. They know that if they were to try to go to the wall with stuff like this, it'll be committing career suicide for them. But so that's why it's all kept under wraps. There's certain things you're not allowed to talk about, which, of course, you know, it leaves us kooks on the internet to talk about it. So I'm going to do just that. Apparently, the Intelligence Reform Act of 2004, that was a law creating a new intelligence czar. Oh, good. I like it when they use the term czar with, you know, American intelligence. That's good. The Reform Act also slipped into some more changes to the Patriot Act, including if the government wanted to hold someone without bail, pre-Reform Act, the government would have to prove they were a flight risk. So they'd say, no, he'll run away. But now they want to hold someone. The accused person has to prove they are not a flight risk. How in the world does someone prove they're not a flight risk? Volunteer to have themselves locked up? Whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Now, this is prove you're not a flight. Whoa, that's, that, you know, just to let you know the gradual rot of, you know, your rights. Number two, the horrible self-written search warrants the original Patriot Act included have been broadened, if you can imagine something more broad than a self-writing, you know, search warrant, to include recipients such as plane, boat, and car dealers, telegraph and wire services, travel agencies, and jewelry stores. Why would you need to do that? I don't understand that, but that's, you know, not nearly as heinous as the first one, but that's okay. Moving right along. Number three, previously grand jury testimony could never be leaked. Grand jury testimony could never be leaked. It was a federal crime. There's a good reason for that. Now the government has given itself the authority to leak federal grand jury testimony at will and to any degree, giving the opportunity to spin a case or a hearing before anyone even knows about it. Now that is information control right there. That is absolutely reality fabrication as to be broadcast through media sources. That is the only thing that law can be used for. That's probably the most hideous of the three. And the thing that makes it even more hideous is how it seems so, you know, kind of, well, we have the right to free, you know, all the best lies are 90% true. And you know what they're going to do with this. It's despicable. If you want some cool historical perspective, check out Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798. They made it illegal and libel. They made it illegal to libel the government. Sound familiar? Absolutely. And that's from Forgotten Note. Thank you so much, man. It's great to get, you know, news stories like that, because I didn't even knew that happened. You know, did you know that happened? Why didn't you know that? Why are you learning about that from some guy on the internet? You know, we're all amateur here. We got this, you know, our radio station is working, you know, but our website's down for maintenance currently. Why are you learning about this from me? That's what I want to know. Never mind. If you don't like me, that's fine. You know, you listen to the show. That's cool. But shouldn't you be learning about this in the other media? Why aren't they talking about this? Where is this, you know, these stories about your rights being totally removed? And these massive changes on a very high level, touching even the grand jury. I mean, this is insane. Now let's just talk about a company that I'm all about. You know, large corporations that have got a history of dealing with the Nazis. I'm talking about Bayer. You know, those guys who used to make aspirin, or still make aspirin, I guess. You know, well, they made all the Zyklon, or the Zyklon B, that killed all the Jews in the Nazi death camps. And IBM, they made all the punch cards that tracked all the Jews and everything, that whole tie in there. And Ralph Lauren designed all the Nazi uniforms, and the list goes on and on and on. But, you know, one of the worst offenders of this was Ford, because even in Hitler's office, they had a painting of, Gerald Ford, the dude who started the Ford guy, Gerald Ford, I believe it's Gerald Ford, you know, a painting of him in Hitler's office. Now, I'm asking you, why in the world would we, like, allow these companies to just run unchecked when they're quite clearly supporting the Nazi Party? And everyone knows Ford was backing the Nazi Party. There's a reason not to buy a Ford right there, because they backed the Nazi Party. Thanks so much. Well, it was a business decision. I'm sorry, man. Ethics are ethics. This is just crazy. This is a news story sent to me from NewsBot 4. And, you know, to show that they're so socially conscious. I love Ford, the Ford Motor Company. They have the new Ford Sinus concept. Now, you got to take a look at this car that they've cooked up. Here's the screen sheet here. According to the Ford, the Sinus concept is aimed at people who live in urban environments and work in the city, so someone such as myself. Ford says that the sinuses, no shit, that's what they call it, is the sinus is compact enough to maneuver through congested streets, yet bold enough to run with the big dogs at the same time. The architecture of the Sinus comes from critically acclaimed Ford Fiesta. The critically acclaimed Ford Fiesta, isn't that like a tiny, smaller than the Ford Focus, Fiesta is known as the B car. Popular in other markets because of narrow streets and dense traffic. Boy, density's good, huh? That's one of the things they tried to feed me down at the Vancouver Art Gallery with the massive changeling. Density is good. It's good not to have any space. B cars are almost unknown in America, and thank you, Jesus. However, considering that the majority of the world's population will live in urban areas by 2010, where does the majority of the world's population live now? They all live in the cities? So you think by 2010 we'll all be urban, eh? Interesting. The time may finally be at hand for the B car market in the United States. Okay, so you've got this tiny little whatever. The Sinus concept explores what such a car might look like. While Sinus may be small, it apparently designed to stand up to rough and tumble life in the big city. Life in the big city. What is involved with the rough and tumble life in the big city? And furthermore, why is life in the big city so rough and tumble? But anyway, taking its inspiration from bank vaults and armored cars, this concept's exterior design immediately communicates that it takes security seriously. It looks really tough. When parked and placed in secure mode, I put my car in secure mode, the Sinus deploys protected shutters over the windshield and side glass. Small windows on the flanks and roof are non-opening, and bullet resistant. Nothing's bulletproof anymore, because we all know that bullets can get through anything they really want to, especially like accelerator rounds for shotguns purchased from the Blammo Ammo Company. The rear hatch has no window at all. The Sinus Concept also signals security through its driver's side dial operated combination lock on the B pillar. The rear hatch is operated via a vault-style four-spoke spinner. Flat glass and a slightly raked windshield further its armored car look of this concept. Now, understand, this is just a concept vehicle. This is not meaning, you know, that this is what the world is going to turn into. This is a concept vehicle. But Ford's sitting there believing that by 2010, people are going to be so savage in the streets that the haves and the have-nots are going to be warring so badly that we're all going to need to have steel shutters on our cars, and like they do in some parts of Mexico. Or is this whole thing sounding a lot more like, say, South Africa, where you've got flamethrowers on cars, and you have it's totally legal down there to run traffic lights if you feel threatened in a neighborhood. You say, I felt threatened, and you run. I don't want to see America become like that. I don't want to see any part of North America. I don't want to see any part of the world like that. But let's try to stay with something I can maybe help. Let's not let America get that bad. Let's not let North America get that bad. Let's not let Canada or America. I'm just going to call it North America, because really that's who we are. You know, I don't try not to get too symbolic with, you know, who's Canadian, who's U.S. here. We're all just trying to make it through this sucker in one piece. Okay? I really honestly believe that there's no reason for this kind of desperation to occur in North America. It is up for us who are the haves to try to figure out a way, especially the educated haves, to try to figure a way to stop this. This is insane. And Ford, with all their resources and all their abilities to try to make the world a better place, they're going to try to profit from that by getting ahead of the bell curve on the design option of making sure that we'll be able to hold back, put up the steel shutters to keep the 28 days later mutant shambling zombies that are going to be infecting the world so desperate that they'll be attacking other people in their cars on their way to work in the city. Now, that is some bleak shit right there. I did Tales from the After Now thinking that, you know, hey, maybe I enjoy a bleak concept every now and again. I enjoy watching The Road Warrior. Sure, I'll admit that. But I do not want to see that level of degradation where people are getting kidnapped and you know, all their money is taken out of their bank, so out of, you know, multiple days and stuff like that, and tossed by the wayside. All that good, you know, man on fire stuff. I don't want that happening in America. I don't want that happening in Canada. I don't want that happening in North America. I don't want it happening anywhere in the world. So why is this happening? Well, it's quite obvious, isn't it? It's happening because there are a lot of desperate people. These people that our system just discard and throw to the wayside because we think they're useless, and three strikes and you're out. You're a junkie and you came from a bad family and you never had much of a chance and you didn't fit in with the model or the design, so you know what? You're out of here. Well, these people are all falling by the wayside now, and yeah, the gangs are picking them up. You know, sure, gangs are picking them up. Someone want to explain to me why the Hell's Angels aren't part of this, you know, war on terrorism? We got an international organization that's openly criminal, that has ties in several countries, that's laundering drugs, money, and prostitution, and nobody's saying shit. You know, they seem to be terrorists to me. Their name is the Hell's Angels. You know, Hell's Angels, Al-Qaeda, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it seems sort of obvious. I don't know why anyone hasn't talked about it. Well, because if you talk about it, the Hell's Angels will come kill you, and you should shut your mouth, Sean. Okay, sure. But I'm just saying, for example, if you're going to make an anti-terrorism thing, maybe you should go after the terrorists. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't pull any favorites here. I'll call it as I see it. That's my, you know, I get paid by the internet to do that. That's my job. And honestly, I think that, yeah, there's a lot of organized crime. Yeah, the Yakuza and the Triad and all these, you know, these terrorist multi-huge crime organizations. But for now, I would say that I would rather go after, because all the Hell's Angels and the Yakuza and those guys, all they're doing is they're just making money off of men's sins. You know what I mean? They're seducing young girls and forcing the sex trade and all that horrible stuff. You know, but compared to the horror that is Monsanto, or the horror that is McDonald's, or the horror that is Coca-Cola, where they're literally destroying the planet, the Hell's Angels cannot say that they are destroying the planet. okay? I don't think the Yakuza is destroying the planet either. So, before we go after the Hells Angels and the Yakuza, let's maybe take our anti-terrorism guys and go after some of these large corporations that are destroying our world and our oxygen supply and our resources so that our children's children will have nothing except for maybe the burlap clothing they're wearing as they shamble through the streets trying to meek out, you know, a few cents cast aside from these Ford sinuses as the rich people drive through the streets. Now, in every culture, you're going to have and have-nots. In every culture, there's going to be people who don't, you know, make it through the deal. And the school system or whatever. You know, there's always going to be freaks. There's always going to be white trash. And there's always going to be crackheads and losers and whatever, okay? You can't get away from that. But you can at least try to have some sort of a catch-all to prevent these people from becoming so desperate that they're attacking each other and attacking those to have these to have just food to survive. Is that's what they're doing? Oh, they're hooked on drugs. Okay, yeah, they're hooked on drugs. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't defend yourself, okay? If you get attacked by these people, I'm saying an ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. And if we can figure out a way to circumvent this rather than looking ahead and designing, you know, armored cars, let's design some stuff that'll make it a little bit easier so that we can look at other countries where they have these problems and try to plan to support these people so we don't have that. Nobody wants to run through the streets and attack people. It's a horrible way to live like an animal. Who would want to do that? It's disgusting. Yeah, all these hardcore rap guys can talk about all they want, but in reality, it's a hell of a thing to get violent with somebody. Nobody likes to do that. It does horrible things to you. Violence is terrible. So let's not, you know, plan for that like it's a positive thing. When I talk about the ideas I do in patrolling, you know, it's with a heavy heart that I tell people how to do this. Yeah, some kid's cool, and I've got to, you know, it's got to be entertaining. But guys, the world's really seriously going to shit out there. So let's try to, you know, at least fake that we don't want it to. Let's stand up and say, yeah, I care. Me, right here. I don't want it to get that bad. You know, you could choose your own reason. You want to do it for religious reasons, that's fine. You want to go do it for, you know, Ramadan or for your logic or intellectualism or for art or whatever. But for God's sakes, take a stand, would you? That's a free broadcast. You can do anything you like with this broadcast. You can remix it into other songs and do what you please with it. And this broadcast has been brought to you by the generous donations of Jesse, Lars, Michael, Matt, Andrew, Kevin, Derek, Eric, Jason, Peter, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Timor, Greg, Richard, Weblife, Drake, Matt, Evan, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, William, Trevor, Jonathan, Mark, Kitsune, Art, Matthew, Christopher, Kyle, Justin, and Matthew. And if you believe in what I'm doing here, if you believe that what we're doing is important, if you want to help out, if you want to donate to the program, if you want to pay to keep me on the air, you can do that by going to Rantmedia. Yeah, I've got to remember what my site is. Rantmedia.ca. And you want to click on donate over there, and Sim will come rushing in with all of the crazy, crazy monkeys he employs to completely rob you from our elite Hacksaw site and take your money. Because after all, we're the enemy. We're the super terrorists. Everyone's trying to protect you from, and we're trying like hell to help you people. Special thanks to the reporters Transix, Bastard Guy, Rebel Whore, Ricky Rocket, Ashley in North California, CA? I guess is that Northern Carolina? Well, whatever. Ashley, Sysbomb, Forgotten Node, and Wog of War. Hey, I'm Canadian. What do you want from me here? And thanks to their assistant. Okay, thank you for your assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, I can't give you my encryption key because I haven't got that stuff done yet. Sorry about that. But you can email me at newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, it is the Ghost in the Shell PlayStation soundtrack. Yes, I am a rabid Ghost in the Shell otaku, and I'm not afraid just to say it out loud. I'm out of the closet. I don't care. I love Ghost in the Shell. But I'm going to leave you with a mantra, a chant protection program installed orally while you sleep. Absurd minds call it essence. So until tomorrow,
that's what Cyrus said.
Why